Hello and a really warm welcome to Successful Student Transitions, A Time to Thrive, hosted by me, Louise Wiles, and Elizabeth Gillies. So in our podcast, we aim to be a companion for young people as they step out of school into the world of work and study and support them to thrive in new environments. Now, as you all know, if you are a regular listener, over the last 18 months, we've been exploring the question of what it means to thrive in times of transition. We've discussed ideas and presented content, and very importantly, interviewed students living through these experiences of transition and experts working in this area. Our aim has been to pull together a blueprint to support students through times of transition. And in this episode and the one that follows, we're going to share our thinking and ideas on supporting students at these times. Heraclitus says, "There is nothing permanent except change," reminding us that the one certainty in life is change. It's change that brings the unsettling uncertainty that many of us find difficult to navigate, which becomes our transition experience. Bruce Feiler, author of Life is in the Transition, says that adults will spend at least half of their adult years working through some form of change. He says, "We can't ignore these central times of life. We can't wish or will them away. We have to accept them, name them, mark them, share them, and eventually convert them into a new and vital fuel for remaking our life stories. We all benefit from developing our ability to thrive through periods of change and transition." And in this two-part series, we'll share why we believe the transition to university is a great opportunity to learn these essential skills for life. Skills that will guide students through maybe what is their first big life transition to independent living, but then also to future transitions as well. So Elizabeth, why don't you tell us what we're going to be covering in these two podcasts?
Hi there. I'm loving that Bruce Feiler.
Me too.
Quite, isn't it? It's really good. So in the podcast today, we're going to talk about the nature of change. We're going to describe the current student experience as students settle into the first year of university. We're going to share why we believe transition care offers an opportunity for universities to help students develop resilience and agility. And in the companion podcast next week, we're going to outline the possibilities of providing transition care. And we're going to present our blueprint for successful student transitions. So, big bits of work coming on here, Louise. And I just want to outline for clarity's sake, when we talk about transition care, we're talking about supporting students through a change experience, like the move to university, and the resulting process of transition and adjustment to university life, something that can take their first year and sometimes more. So this move to university represents one change experience, but as the quote from Bruce Feiler reminds us, we're going to experience multiple periods of disruption through our lives, not least through the subsequent years of the university experience. So let's think about the nature and impact of change in the 21st century, Louise. Over to you.
Okay, well, I'm going to start by saying we live in a VUCA world. I expect you've all heard that phrase multiple times. Stands for volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous. So constantly unpredictable, really, one where change is the norm. And there's a great book called Flux by April Rinney, and she reminds us that nothing is static or fixed, everything's fleeting. And yet, it's human nature to resist change, to ignore it, to fear it, and mistakenly believe we can control it. The truth is we can't. The future will bring more uncertainty, more unpredictability, and more of the unknown. That is the real certainty. So to thrive in a world of change, or flux, as April calls it, we need to flip the switch and change our relationship to uncertainty. John C. Maxwell says, "Change is inevitable, growth is optional." And we believe that we must learn to embrace change and be open to the learning and growing through the experience. So we believe we must learn to embrace change and be open to learning and growing through the experience. And we also need to put our focus on learning how to best sustain our well-being through volatile times. There's a great new book that's just been released by Mo Gordat called Unstressable. And he says, as we head into an ever more volatile and fast-changing future, we're entering a time of human evolution where we will have to make well-being a priority. But we have a question, and that is, how well are we enabling our young people to function well in this ever-changing world? What do you think, Elizabeth?
Well, it is a complicated picture, isn't it? This fast-changing world and the things that we're expecting people to be able to do and not just cope with it, but thrive in it. And it seems to me that in education, there's an increasing competition for students to perform well and for teachers, schools and universities to provide not just a good education, but maybe even an excellent one. And of course, these are important goals. There's a pressure, though, on academics and education. You know, we hear people talking about getting the good grades, not being left behind, catching up, getting into good schools, schools being graded, and parents seeking additional support or tutoring their children because they've got to do well academically for this thing and the next. And what seems to result is a predicted route from school to university that feels set for many students. There's an expectation that it's kind of like a linear process. There's one thing and another thing and another thing. And maybe this represents an attempt to build certainty into an experience that is anything but. And if we can think about the following, we can see why. You know, firstly, students can't be certain about the outcome of hard work. You know, there might be disappointment and the need to respond flexibly on exam results day. That's a real possibility. And the question becomes, how well are we preparing them for this? Secondly, while a university apprenticeship place may be assured, the experience that will then unfold is going to be filled with new and challenging experiences. The need to learn a whole new range of life management and life skills, study skills. How well are we preparing them for this? And thirdly, there's a trajectory that a student's life through and then beyond the university experience is anything but certain. They might be studying for those number of years at university, and then there's a big transition out at the other end. How are we preparing them for this? The big question, we believe, is what should preparation look like? How can we really prepare students for this volatile life? So Louise, what do we know about this current university transition experience?
Okay, so I think it's important to say that the move to university for students for pretty much all represents a big life change. Yeah, they're exchanging the familiarity, the comfort, the sense of belonging of their home, school, college environment for a new environment and culture. And for all, I'm sure at the beginning, there's hope that this change experience is going to be a positive one. There's much positive discussion of the university experience, as it is so often referred to these days, and the opportunities that it presents for students to step out of home into independent living, make new friends, become part of a vibrant community, develop that sense of belonging, find a strong sense of academic purpose, and acquire invaluable knowledge, skills for the future, and a sense of accomplishment. And these are all really very positive reasons for taking this next step. But we know that the transition experience can be hard for students, bringing both highs and lows. And it is the ability of students to ride both those highs and lows of this transition experience that probably determines their longer-term success. So let's take a look at some of the challenges that students face as they move through this time of transition. Elizabeth.
Well, students are often challenged by all they have to do to balance this new life, both practically and psychologically. And we know from our work in the field of transitions that the transition period that follows all change can be difficult. And one of the factors that can exacerbate the challenge results from change is insufficient thinking of preparation. What is coming next? They might know it, they might not. And for students embarking on a new life at university, this move often follows a pretty intense period of high-stake exams and a tense results period. Only once the results are in and places confirmed do students turn their attention to the move to university. Preparation, when it comes, is often practically focused, what to take or not, and the logistics of getting there and setting up their rooms and accommodation. And of course that's important, but the transition, the process that occurs maybe even before that time, pre and certainly post-arrival, involves more than packing and unpacking. What other things does it include, Louise?
Yeah, so I think, you know, they're moving to a new environment. So for student, challenges arise because the university represents a new beginning. It's a move away from the comfort and familiarity of home, school and college, and towards a new novel environment and a step towards growing independence. And also the transition experience can lead to a polarity in experience and emotional response. So for many students, there's conflicting thoughts and feelings about the experience. You know, they're excited and they're enthusiastic for new opportunities and, you know, developing new friendships and academic skills and interests. But there may also be sort of coexisting with that excitement, a sense of sadness. You know, one stage of life is coming to an end. They're leaving family and valued friends behind. And students may be concerned about, you know, how they're going to meet new friends, how they're going to fit in, and how they'll also cope with all the new practical aspects of life, such as managing their finances, shopping and cooking. What else, Elizabeth?
So lots of things to balance. Mm-hmm. And lots of things to balance when these young adults, their identities are still evolving. They're at an age where they're working out who they are and what's important to them. And this can mean they feel unsure about how they should be or how they want to be when meeting new people, new students, their peers, their lecturers and tutors. So there's an evolving identity coming here when they're just, you know, taken into this new world. And for students with maybe additional learning needs or physical disabilities or maybe from disadvantaged backgrounds, the transition may be even more overwhelming as the new becomes a bit of a challenge. So we heard a lot of this when we talked with students and in the Student Voices series. And I'm sure if you listen to them, you would be really aware of what they're saying too. Because they talked about the wobbles they had in the early weeks and months. Some missed home and were sad that one stage of their life was over. Others talked about the sense of living between worlds, and often in the transition literature, this is called liminal space, but that neither fully fitting into either, you know, they're not comfortable in one yet. And for some, there was the underlying concern about the course they'd chosen. Was it the right one? How could they be for sure about this? How could they best adjust to the new independent style of learning? And for some, the challenge was about creating new workable routines, and others were struggling to balance the intensity of social life with the need to study.
Yeah. Yeah. So much to contend with, I think, in this move to something that is so new. And students also talked about the experience of, well, the experience itself not matching expectations. You know, often university is sold as the best years of your life. You know, that marketization of university education means that universities do really work hard to sell the positives, and probably rightly so in many ways. You know, they talk about, you know, the academic opportunities, the sporting and social activities. But the result of that, I think, is students often arrive with a vision of the positives and not much sense of the potential downsides and challenges. And so for some, after a while, the experience turns out to not actually match the hype. And so some students perhaps fall behind with their studies. They look at their bank balances, you know, particularly given the current cost of living crisis, and they begin to question the cost benefit of their university education. And there's been some interesting research by the University Student Experience Survey 2023 that found that when asking students about whether the experience was matching expectations, found that 19% of students reported the experience had been better than expected, 17% that it had been worse. 16% found it to be exactly as expected, and 48% said it was better in some ways, worse in others. And the overall sort of conclusion from that research was that it's really difficult for universities to exceed expectations. And they cited things such as the cost of living, loneliness, and mental health concerns as key factors preventing expectations from being met. And students' comments included comments such as, well, it's not living up to the hype that we were exposed to before we arrived. Money and affordability are challenging since I don't work. Having to work, you know, as it's expensive to live as a student. Loneliness was another area of struggle. And then also well-being support was poor. So quite a range of sort of, yeah, feedback there from students about the experience itself.
And if we want to kind of draw on the mental health concerns mentioned in the survey, you know, the mental health challenge among the student population is well documented. We know that student well-being has become a growing concern over the past years, and as the number of students reporting mental health challenges has steadily increased. Schools and teachers have systems to address mental health concerns. However, we know that there's a continuing rise in concerns about young people's well-being. And last year, a survey by the NSPCC revealed that their helpline calls from parents had increased a fifth in that year. So, you know, there's a real level of concern there about young people and how they're coping mentally. And if you're a young person with mental health issues, then this transition experience can be significantly more challenging. So good preparation and support are critical. But also for students generally, we know that the transition experience can impact well-being. For example, you know, in that primary to secondary transition, we know that there's been a decline in emotional well-being when students make that change. And as a result, many schools provide support to prepare and ease for this transition. And it's both between primary school and secondary school working together for this. So the move between educational settings can be particularly challenging for university students. Some researchers have described the transition to university as an acute stressor due to the initial intense strain on well-being. Students may struggle to adjust. Some say they are just surviving, showing heightened psychological distress and reduced psychological well-being. In a student minds research in 2023, in response to a question about how their level of well-being has changed since starting university, 30% said it worsened.
Yes. And I think for many students, the transition experience can lead to psychological distress, such as anxiety, depression, sleep disturbances, reduced self-esteem, and isolation. And for some, this will mean that they make the choice to leave university. In a 2019-20 study by HESA, 1 in 16 first-year students dropped out of university. And the National Student Money Survey 2023 found that 71% of students surveyed said that they had considered dropping out. And the three most cited reasons were given as mental health, 51%, money worries, 54%, and student loan interest rates, 37%. You know, and it's sad that mental health and the financial cost of living challenges mean that students are forced to make these potentially disruptive life choices, such as leaving university. You know, probably with the reality that there's little ongoing support for this new transition that comes as they leave their university experience. You know, and that's obviously going to be associated with feelings, you know, perhaps of failure or feelings certainly of negative nature, leaving an experience that they hoped would be positive and just has turned out not to be. And then not having much support to help them settle into whatever is going to come next, even identify what is going to come next, let alone then move on to that. So that transition is definitely not well supported. And beyond those that leave, there's an additional challenge facing university. Those who stay but continue to struggle are often not able to participate positively in their academic programs and community life.
The case that we're making today for good transition care and support is clear from this quote from the Student Mental Health Charter 2023, which says, there's now decades of evidence demonstrating that the transition into university and the first year are hugely significant for student success, confidence, belonging and well-being. If a sizable proportion of the student population is struggling in some way, we must address this. We've been asking ourselves the following questions. How can we support students in a way that enhances their journey from school or college to higher education and beyond? How can we provide transition care that supports this change and other changes to come? How can we help students to care for their well-being and put it at heart of the transition experience? We believe that there are several ways to position the student experience in a way that makes sense of the struggle, recognises student needs, and helps them put the transition process into perspective and ultimately build effective transition strategies and skills. In the next episode, we'll share our overview of these possibilities for doing this, concluding with our blueprint for student transitions.
But here, we're going to share four underlying foundations for our blueprint. So Elizabeth and I have both lived and worked internationally and been involved in multiple international moves, experiencing the disruption, the change and transition that comes with such major life quakes. That's a term by Bruce Feiler. Now, we have drawn inspiration from research and education in the field of international mobility, and here we share ideas from that area. So firstly, we need to leave well to arrive well. David Pollock and Ruth Van Rieken authored a book called Third to Culture Kids, designed to support families coping with frequent international moves. And research has shown that successive relocation during childhood, and particularly the teen years, can lead to mental health challenges often associated with unresolved grief. It is tough to regularly leave friends and lives behind, to end one existence and begin another anew. This research is particularly relevant for international students, but we believe it's also relevant for national students as they embark on their university transitions. Leaving well, saying goodbye to people and place is important. For all students, the experience of transition begins as they consider their post-sixth form college direction and look forward to a future that may be located away from friends and families and the old school college environment that they're familiar with, breaking long-term important and valued attachments. We believe that much can be applied for mobility in the international sector to the national sector in this sense.
Secondly, we know from research that mobility disrupts social, emotional, and academic skills, and that planned mobility helps to mitigate these effects. The largest meta-analysis in education by John Hattie, Invisible Learning, examined research findings and factors that impact student achievement. He looked at 138 factors, positive factors and negative factors were both uncovered. And interestingly and importantly for us, the most negative factor impacting learning was mobility. So change costs. It costs us in so many ways. Recent research by Dr. Doug Ottar in Safe Passage, How Mobility Affects People in Relation to the International Mobility of Students, highlighted the difference between planned and unplanned mobility, bringing increased clarity and conviction to providing transition care for students to transition well. And thirdly, Doug also outlined the impact of threat, such as future mobility on our psychological functioning. It's draining on the brain and interferes with cognition and our ability to learn. When we move from the familiar to something novel or new, we face uncertainty, which triggers discomfort. And as human beings, we have a strong desire for certainty and control. Change puts this into question. As a result, we can begin to look for the threats in our environment, a process that is natural, drawing on our survival instincts to keep us safe. All good and well when we are out in the wilds facing real danger, but in the lecture theatre, seminar room or study bedroom, it's not so helpful and can result in a narrowed vision and actions. We may miss things that are most importantly misinterpreting things. The coursework that is set to be slightly novel and challenging becomes impossible and prompts thoughts about the wrong course. I can't do this. A negative catastrophizing loop. You might recognize this. A room full of strangers can seem overwhelming and threatening, leading us to turn away and retreat, so hampering our ability to make new friends.
Yeah, and I think in relation to this sort of threat response, there's a great model developed by David Rock that he used to describe how we respond when we're faced with these new, novel and social situations. And when we feel uncomfortable, as described above, our threat response is activated and we're likely to see situations as threatening to us. So he uses SCARF as an acronym, and that describes what can send us into this negativity response. And there are five elements, if you like. So S is for status, as we struggle to find ours in our new environment where no one knows us. C is for certainty, and we've talked a lot about change and uncertainty in this podcast, but change brings uncertainty and we're unclear about the future and our perspective may be clouded. A is for autonomy. We have choices to make about what and how to do things, but if we're unsure about how to do these things, we don't know perhaps, then that can feel really threatening. R is for relatedness. We want to feel we belong. That's such an important human need. But when we perceive a challenge to this, we can experience a threat response. And finally, F is for fairness. When we perceive unfairness, we'll feel threatened. For an example, other students with better rooms or treating people differently to us. So it's possible to see how whole transition experiences of preparing to move, leaving and arriving can prompt this threat response to be activated, and in these five ways. And then also we know, you know, building on that R for relatedness, it's so important. And relatedness and autonomy, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, highlights the importance of that love, that affection, belonging and self-esteem. And you can easily see how change to university and beyond, you know, those kinds of changes will challenge those important things, the relationships, but also that sense of achievement too. And there's some really interesting research from Robert Waldinger recently published in his book, highlighting his longitudinal research about the importance of relationships as key to the good life. So for young adults, as we've discovered in our Student Voices series on our podcast, this is often the most important factor when starting and continuing at university.
Thanks, Louise. And fourthly, our fourth point is, we know from the area of international mobility that people often experience a period of culture shock when they move from one country and culture to another. This is well observed in the international community, and Louise and I have both experienced it. And it's just as relevant for university students. Students are leaving a culture that's familiar and comfortable for the majority of them to one that is novel and unfamiliar. In adjusting to this new environment, culture shock theory tells us that there's often a number of dips in the adjustment process. And this is brought about by overwhelm from all that's new, unmet expectations, and a perceived or actual gap in the ability to cope with the new relevant skills and knowledge that's required. Of course, these dips dissipate with time until there's a sense of adjustment and feeling settled. Models of cultural agility give us a clue as to the competencies that will help us move through this period of transition. Also, from the transition literature, we know that adjustment is not an overnight phenomenon. It takes time, effort, and energy to settle well. Freshers' Week represents the beginning of the adjustment and transition process. And this process can take most of the first year. And then it's followed, of course, by another transition to year two, and then year three, with maybe different things to adjust to and different challenges.
Yes, and actually, as you said that, Elizabeth, I just suddenly thought of the other transition that's, of course, happening there, and that's the transition home and holidays, which the students in the Student Voices talked about and said could be as challenging sometimes as well. So, you know, life is in the transitions. And this is a quote by William James and used by Bruce Feiler, who we talked about at the beginning of this episode. The move to university is just one in a series of life transitions that every student will encounter. They'll transition to the end of term breaks, accommodation changes, placement years, study abroad years, and then finally into the world of work and beyond. And each period of change will be accompanied by a process of transition. So as we bring this episode to a close, we want to acknowledge the contribution opportunity offered by the university experience. For many students, university provides a wonderful stepping stone for building life and academic skills in a highly supportive, although sometimes challenging, environment. Now, Corey Keyes, in his recently published book, Languishing, talks about how people need to feel good and function well to create flourishing life. So the ability to function well plays a huge part in contributing to well-being, and many of the skills for functioning well can be acquired through the university experience. With guidance and support throughout the transition journey, students can develop skills that will boost their well-being and resilience, enabling them to thrive and get the most from their university years, and at the same time, build invaluable skills for coping with the inevitable change that life will bring. As Maya told us in her conversation with us for our podcast, school focused on getting me into a university, not anything about how to do well when I arrived. So we're going to outline in the next episode our response to her challenge and our blueprint for successful student transitions. So Elizabeth, would you like to summarise the key points of today's podcast?
We've looked at the challenge that change events and the associated process of transition bring, and set this within the context of a world that is changing at an ever-increasing rate. We've noted that transition can be a challenge for many students, exacerbating existing mental health challenges, impacting perceived levels of well-being, and their desire to stay at university or engage effectively on their course. We have recognised that students are grappling with many real-world challenges, such as the cost of living crisis, at the same time as needing to adjust to their new lives. And we've offered some insights into different perspectives on why this life transition can be challenging. In the next episode, and we hope you'll join us, we'll talk about the possibilities for supporting students through the transition experience that's represented by leaving one world, the world of full-time education and home, and entering a new world of higher education, university, and independent living, representing an opportunity for building lifelong valuable transition skills. We'll hope you'll join us in this next journey.
Thank you for listening. Bye-bye for now. And now for the legal bits. The information contained in this podcast is for information purposes only. The content is not intended to act as a substitute for professional advice. Please do not delay in seeking professional help for any medical or mental health condition. Use of the information on this podcast and associated materials is at the user's own risk.